Our catechism lesson this evening you can find on page 20 in the back of your Psalter, Hymnals, Lord's Day 13. Let me also draw attention to a teaching tool that you may use, that I use. It's called the Harmony of the Heidelberg Catechism, Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort. More importantly, I recommend harmonies that have the creeds in them too. And this evening, there will be a harmonization of our lesson from the Catechism with other confessions. And that will be evident as we begin and as we continue to understand more about the Apostles' Creed and what it means. Lord's Day 13, question 33. Why is he called God's only begotten Son, when we also are God's children? And the answer is, because Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace through Christ. And then question 34. Why do you call him our Lord? And the answer is, because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has set us free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil, and has bought us body and soul to be his very own. And then this evening, the scriptures. In your bulletin, there is one, but there are actually two. I don't think you'll have any problem remembering the scriptures this evening. The first one is John 1, 1 to 3. And the second one is the section on John 3, 16. Find the first reading from Scripture on page 1127, and the second reading on page 1130. This isn't the only Scripture I will be using this evening, but these two are the foundation of this understanding of the only begotten Son. John 1, the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I read through verse 4. For more understanding, let's go to John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his, and I'm going to put in my own translation from the Greek word monogenes, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So far, the reading of God's Word. We have studied from the Catechism the section in the Lord's Day on I believe in God the Father Almighty. And then we come to this next section of Lord's Days, which talks about who Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, is. And then the next section after this section will be about the history of Jesus' humiliation up until the time he goes to the cross and he dies and is buried. But thus far, we are at the end, the Lord's Day 13, about discussion of that phrase, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, our Lord. And this is as we continue our Lord's Day progression through the meaning of the Apostles' Creed. In this section right here, in this Lord's Day, he is confessed as God's only begotten Son, our Lord. And I have a real problem if we don't articulate it exactly like that. Some translations say his only Son, our Lord. But that does not give the correct meaning. He is God's only begotten Son, our Lord. And we have this wonderful two-part question which says, why is he called God's only begotten Son, since we are also children of God? First, why is he called? Then, since we are also children of God. So quite naturally, we must deal with the first part, why he is called God's only begotten Son. And this is very important for us to understand. We need to know this concept of being begotten by the Father and not made. Now, if you turn in your Psalters to page 4, as you have your Psalters open, you'll see the Nicene Creed there. It's wonderful how the creeds are harmonized with our catechism. On page 4, it says, I believe in one God, the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, and of all this things, of all these things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, and that means before time began. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And listen to this, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. One substance with the Father. His very essence is the same essence as God the Father Almighty. The eternal God the Father Almighty. Begotten, not made. And so Jesus Christ, as we have learned previously, whose name means he is our Savior from sin, is a son of the Father, but of a different kind than we are. Sons of fathers, daughters of fathers and mothers. Yes, he is a son, but a divine son. We sing it in a beautiful Savior, Son of God and Son of Man. 100% God, 100% divine, the same essence as the Father. But also, as we will see from previous, or as we will see from the next Lord's days, he is also a man, 100% man. But he is a divine son of the very being or substance, as the creed further confesses. The same as the Father, the creator. So the Son is the creator, by whom all things were made. John 1 clearly tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John the Apostle clearly here states that Jesus and the Word, which is his name, is an eternal name for an eternal God. He was in the beginning with God. And then he's the creator God too, because all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Paul writes this letter to an early church in Colossae in Greece to encourage them. He talks in the beginning about how they are thankful and how we should be thankful because of Christ and what he has done. And then after this thankfulness, and after he asked for prayers, for strength and wisdom and understanding, and walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, bearing fruit for every good work, he then begins this description of Jesus Christ in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so this creator God, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, is holding it all together right now. And he is the head of the body, the church. Imagine that. He's holding this church together right now. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He shows us the way to heaven by his ascension into heaven, by his resurrection from the dead, by his sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty right now, having authority in all of heaven, in all of earth, and holding it all together. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. That is, he is above all things. For in him all the fullness of God, all the fullness, not some of the fullness, not a little bit of the fullness, but all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Imagine that. This is all so that it can all be reconciled. Everything, creation itself, which is mired in the curse. Each and every human being which has been suffering under the curse. And the writer to the Hebrews puts it together in Hebrews chapter 11 by saying this. Now faith, that is faith in Christ, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So from the creed, and as it is informed by the confession and proved by the scriptures, we understand that the only begotten description of God the Son is very important, because he is the creator Son of God. In existence before the world began, he was in the beginning with God the Father. And as the Father ordained creation, the word of God, the Son of God, spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. The almighty power of the word goes out and says, let there be the expanse in the heavens. Let there be the creatures of the sea and the air and the land. And let there be man, human beings. He was there with the Father and the Spirit to create, to make, to decree, let there be. But he himself was not made. He was not of the creation. He is the Creator. And we need to make that distinction. All other religions mix the two together. There is a vast divide between the Creator and his creation. Now listen to the Belgic Confession. You can look at it in the back of your hymnals if you wish and read along with me as it sums up what we have just heard. We were talking this morning about how wonderful our new catechism lessons are. The reason being is because they bring in all the confessions. In Article 10, sometimes called the Eternal Sonship of Christ, or Jesus Christ is true eternal God, it says this, we believe, that's how it begins, we believe that Jesus Christ, according to his divine nature, is the only Son of God, eternally begotten, not made or created, for then he would be a creature, meaning like you and me. He is one in essence with the Father, co-eternal. The exact image of the person of the Father and the reflection of his glory, as it says in Hebrews chapter 1. Being in all things like him, that is God the Father. He is the Son of God not only from the time he assumed our nature, but from all eternity. As the following testimonies teach us when they are taken together. Moses says, God created the world. And John says that all things were created by the Word, which he calls God. And the Apostle says God made the world by his Son. He also says that God created all things by Jesus Christ, which we read. And so it must follow that he who is called God, the Word, the Son, and Jesus Christ already existed when all things were created by him. Therefore, the prophet Micah says that his origin is from ancient times, from eternity. And the apostle says that he has neither beginning of days nor end of life. So then he is the true eternal God, the Almighty, whom we invoke, worship, and serve. This is why it's so important to not leave out the word only begotten. This gives weight to the first part of the answer to question 35. Because Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God. But wait, there's more. To be our Savior, the same must also be true in another way, and it is. It's in John 3:16. You've heard it so many times. It's been changed. But let's get it back to what it really says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not his only Son, his only begotten Son. That's what the word in the original language means. That whoever believes in him, meaning the only begotten Son, should not perish but have eternal life. Why? Because he's eternal, that's why. The eternal creator takes to eternity his people, eternally. For God did not send his Son, meaning his only begotten Son, his only natural Son, into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. There can only be salvation in one way, and that is that you and I confess that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only begotten Son. The Greek word that describes the Son in all these familiar places in the Bible is monogenes, only begotten, of the same kind as the Father. Our Savior, in order to save, must be wholly divine. A Creator Father sent His Creator Son into the world that so ever whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life with them. And point number two, we, that is you and I, are different from a different mold, so to speak. And so by salvation and belief in Christ Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. We, however, are children of God, says the Catechism, by adoption through grace for Christ's sake. 1 John 3 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. This is the same John that wrote about the only begotten Son. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Is it any wonder that the beloved Apostle John really brings it together? At the first part of his first letter, when he goes even back invoking the Old Testament in the beginning, and then invoking his own gospel, "In the beginning was the Word." And now he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete." This is the divine Son of God, the natural Son of God. And John saying, "I saw Him, I heard Him, I touched Him, and I want to tell you now about Him and the salvation that's brought, so that your joy can be with our joy, and together we can experience and bask in His joy." And then question 34, which brings the end to this section, explaining why He is called Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, our Lord. The question is, why do you call Him Lord? And the answer is, because He has ransomed us, body and soul, from all our sins, not with silver or gold, but with His precious blood. He has freed us from all the power of the devil to make us His own possession. Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body." Redemption means being given back true knowledge, true righteousness, and true holiness that was lost in the fall. What was deemed good by the Creator in the beginning, when He saw man as the pinnacle, the crown of His creation, and said, "This is good," was damaged, was destroyed in the fall, in sin. And now in Christ, it has been redeemed. It has been bought back at the price of His precious blood. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Notice how it says, the man Jesus Christ. So here we understand he's not only the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man, who gave himself as a ransom for all, not just some, for all. His sacrifice was a sufficient sacrifice on the cross for everybody, but it's efficient only for those who believe in him. And it has to be sufficient because he's eternal God. He's the creator. Can you imagine? The creator was on the cross. And that sacrifice had to be that big for all the people who will ever live from the time of Adam until he comes back. If he was only a man, he would only die for himself. He has bought and paid for us by his finished work on the cross. The Creator died on the cross. The infinite, all-powerful Creator God, the only begotten Son. Divine, yes, 100%, but also man, 100%. One man died for all men. Now let me say this, and let me end this evening by saying, you and I have a job to do with him as our Lord and Savior. I want to leave you with this evening. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 13. This is for a purpose. He has freed us from all the power of the devil to make us his own possession and to use us as his possession to expand his kingdom. I love what Peter says. Peter's a man of action, isn't he? He sometimes puts his foot in his mouth, says the wrong thing, does the wrong thing, was chastised by the Lord for his betrayal. But he was forgiven. And now we hear him say, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Because God was holy, because God so loved the world that he gave his own Son, you and I shall be holy and love one another too. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed, knowing that you were bought and paid for from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you and you and me. In our church, who through him are believers in God. Which God? Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. God the Father who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in an eternal God. And might I say this evening, so that you understand that that eternal God gave you an eternal gift. salvation, which can never fade, which can never rust, which can never be destroyed. He is Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, our Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? This evening, Lord, help us to incorporate into our hearts the dual nature of Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, a beautiful Savior, a wonderful, beautiful gift that you have given us. And help us now to steel our hearts, to put ourselves in these last days ahead to do your bidding and your work, to be holy as you are holy, so that what we do is not only full of grace, but full of mercy and demonstrates Christ, your natural Son, to all those that we meet. Be with us in the coming week. Help us to confess more and more what we understand about Jesus and who he is to a dying world, a world that needs him so desperately. He has ransomed us, and there are others who he has ransomed too by his precious blood. And help us with our words, and help us with our teaching, and help us, because of this church, to free others from the power of the devil and to make them his own possession also. We pray this in his name. Amen. Our hymn of thanks this evening is number 426. Let's stand to sing it.